Y'all have come to worship today, and God's come to speak today, and God has been in the house all day, and I want to give you a word. We're going to wrestle with this word. Status. How many of y'all have ever sought for status? It'd be easier to ask it like this. Has anybody here never sought out status? We all want to be known, don't we? It started back in Genesis 3, and there was this tree and these humans, you know, and Eve. I want to be like God. I want to be known. I want to be recognized. And so in that, we're going to set the tension of Paul and the power of the Holy Spirit writing into the church at Corinth. Now Corinth, you got to know just a little bit about Corinth. It's a crazy place. Let's see if it reminds you of any place. Got a lot of upward mobility, okay? Corinth, man, it's got export-import business. There's business going on. It's got a lot of business happening in Corinth, okay? It's got two places to import in, so it's got goods from all over the world. Got a lot of high-driven activity, a lot of entertainment. It has the ability to move upwardly. You can cash up quick. And that's people that used to be oppressed that now have been released and set free to go about their business, and everybody's looking to be somebody. Does this remind you of any place you know? Like current day. I want to be known. That would have been the issue in Corinth. Roman prominence. In fact, Corinth, if it kind of connects with you, Corinth kind of looked like Vegas in the boom day. Okay, you got Steve Wynn building the... How many of y'all have ever been to Vegas? Y'all are a lot holier than the last congregation. We hit 95% at the 9:30 service. They must have went when Vegas was a family-friendly atmosphere. What intrigues me about Vegas is Elizabeth, we were in Vegas celebrating our anniversary, and so Elizabeth enjoys Vegas not because she's a high-impact gambler, because she won't do that at all. After we go shopping, we need to do that. Maybe no, we don't. But she went to this mall that was like 4.5 miles long. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And you're like in this big tunnel. You just walk underground all day long, and all you see is 25% off. But Bobby, 25% off of a whole lot is still a whole lot. And let me tell you, the unique thing about Vegas is for every store in the world, there's one in Vegas. If they got one in London, they got one in Vegas. If they got one in Tokyo, they got one in Vegas. So it's a place where millions of people come. And guess what Vegas is all about? It's all faux. Josh, when we land there, if we go there, we land there. Elizabeth calls it a prop town. She said, it's like you're going to go be in a movie. I said, you're right. Nothing looks real. And you know why? None of it is. It's all temporary. What do you know about fashion? Okay, change is good. If y'all know that, please, if you still have the hairstyle of the 80s, you are not up to date. Fashions change. How many of y'all have noticed that fashions change? Why do fashions change? Because people have to make money. Some things stay the same, like Wrangler's jeans. They've been the same since the Old West. There's no bling bling on Wrangler's jeans. Can you imagine Brent Favre wearing bling bling jeans? But fashion what? Come on. Some of you ladies know you do this all the time. Some of y'all are studying this. It what? Changes. It moves. It echoes. It lasts for a moment. Now I want to tell you about status. Will y'all get this? Because I know y'all into status. All you great looking young people looking at me, I know y'all into status. Because what do y'all get on all the time? Snoop Book. How many of y'all got a Snoop Book? Facebook. How many of y'all got one of those Snoop Books? And what do you do on Facebook? Sean, you even got one. Not that you're a chick or anything, but you got one, you know. You got what? It's got status. How many of y'all noticed on Facebook it's got what? Status. Elizabeth showed me one time, and I'm like, what do people, where do they get all this time? This was their status. Going to the restroom. I said, Elizabeth, can you apply on these things? Can you do a reply? She said, yeah. I said, reply this. Who cares? Who cares when you go tinkle? Watch this. This person was so absorbed, they thought the World Wide Web needed to know when they needed to use the facility. I think we're a little self-absorbed. What do you guys think? And I think the more self-absorbed we become, the more distracted we get to what we could really be in Christ. And we have to, Corinth's about self-absorption. Corinth is all about that. Come and be in the lights, be in the bling, be in the gleam. Come and make it. Where's the dreams now? The dreams of the 80s was head west. What's out there? Deanna, you headed east, but a lot of people head west. How many of y'all found this? The dream a lot of times is not where you are. It's always out there somewhere instead of right here where you are. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. As we enter into Corinth, I just want you to know this is a high-tech city. It's hustling. It's bustling. The lights are on. It's got many gods flowing through it. It's not a heavily Christian place. However, Jesus is setting his mark on a place that needs grace. And I want to start there. Anybody know what we're doing this year as a church together? Anybody know what we're doing? It's pretty good. Anybody else know what we're doing? We got six people up front. Anybody else know what we're doing this year? Tell it. Okay, now watch this. Larry, you willing to go tell it in Corinth? Oh, but here's about the showgirls in Corinth. Stars ain't lying there in Corinth, baby. The temple of Aphrodite is there in Corinth. Y'all ever heard this little word? Aphrodisiac. Did I say that right, Elizabeth? Mm-hmm. Just checking my pronunciation. What does it mean? Now, y'all aren't going to get embarrassed, are you? Corinth is a sexually charged city. Do you know of any other cities that are sexually charged cities? Vegas. Any of y'all ever been to New York, Times Square? New York, Times Square, the first time I was in Times Square, right there on that big screen, some Calvin Klein dude in his underwear right there, 25 feet tall. Soon charged. When I was in school up on the East Coast, I went to school, this boy, he was from like Backwoods, North Carolina. Backwoods, North Carolina. And they take him into the city for a Saturday. I didn't go this particular Saturday, and he came back and he said, "Yeah, Lord, I tell you one thing." And I said, "What, Reverend?" He said, "Hey, if a man's in the brassiere business in that city, he's going out of business." He said, "I tell you one thing." He said, "I wasn't downtown Mayberry, that's for sure." In other words, boom, that's Corinth. You got a grip on Corinth. It's moving and grooving. Hold on, but we got to be careful with Corinth, because you know what? A lot of us would be lured to Corinth. In fact, a lot of us are. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have all the Corinth we want with enough Jesus to get us to heaven. But here's the problem. To really find grace, grace takes the Corinth out of you so that you might find eternity. You see, here's the problem with status. Believe it or not, students, one day you will lose your student status. I know it's hard for some of you to imagine, but you will become a graduate. Some of you will become a graduate, a graduate. Some of you will just keep graduating to your 60. But eventually, guess what? You move from this status to another status. And here's the problem with being status seeking. Status always changes. Always. A few years ago, I was a father to preschoolers, and then a father to children, and then a father to teenagers. Now I'm a father to a college student and young adults. You know how that happened? Quick. Probably in a few years, I'll have another status. Crazy one. Not grandpa. Grandpa. Do I look like grandpa? You will. Probably. Yeah, I will. It's coming. You got my point, brother. Status changes. Eternity stays. Now, the writing is coming from a guy of great status who was brought to Jesus Christ, a writer, an author, a scholar. The Apostle Paul is not some guy who was riding on the bank of the back of his donkey, got kicked off, hit his head, and got called to preach. This guy's a Jew with status. If you will, he's a Jewish leader with many stripes. In fact, if we were back in the old days of academia, back in the old days, none of you would remember this. Could you students imagine doing this? I don't remember this either, but they tell me about this. I saw a little bit of this because I went and studied at an East Coast school that still holds a lot of honor and tradition to the past. Like when I mean past, 400 or 500 years ago, anytime a professor walked in the room, guess what students would do? They would stand up. You all would know it by seeing Dead Poets Society as a child. There's an ancient tradition of this teacher is the teacher, and I'm the student. I'll stand up. Paul was that guy. Paul was the kind of guy, when he walked into the room, a lot of students stood up. This is Saul of Tarsus, scholar, status, high, economic ability, mobile, influential. The crowd would look at him and say, you know what? He's up there. He traded all of that for the glory of Christ. That ought to tell you about being status seeking. It doesn't last long. And guys, listen, I want to pray for us because this is going to be tough. And I want you to catch these truths today as we journey through this letter. I can tell you already, after two services this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ has put us in this moment of history to understand what was going on in Corinth. Because you're going to feel like you're reading the USA Today. You're going to feel like you're reading modern day blogs. Same stuff. Now watch. I want to give you some serious truth. We cannot heal ourselves. Theologies are not working. Study them all you want to. There is some merit in that. But none of them lead to salvation. Psychology does not lead to salvation. Sociology does not lead to salvation. Economies do not save us. People can't save other people very long. Am I telling the truth or not? Some of you all work in the helping human beings get over their problem. The only permanent solution to. I believe that. No, say it with authority. The only permanent solution to. It's Jesus. That's it. It's the only thing I found that works forever. Now, I found some things that work for a minute. I've found some things that'll make you feel good temporarily. But the only thing that works permanently is a relationship in Jesus Christ and His grace. Paul knew this. Look what he said. He said, my life has been, it has been reconditioned. It is revolutionized. He begins to write 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sois. Guess what he says? Guess what he says? I'm called to be an apostle. This is not a chosen position. This is not a celebrity position. I couldn't study myself into this position. I was given this position by God. Hold, I want you to know that God gives every believer a position. Now you want to hear the heirs version? The reason the church is screwed up most of the time is we always want somebody else's position. Sam, you play football. I don't know why. Everybody wants to be a quarterback. Have you noticed that? Everybody wants to be a quarterback. Other than people like you, like me, who play on the other side of the ball. And we, you know, yeah. We believe that offense is there so you have somebody to hit. But look at Sean back there. He's getting nervous. So Sean had somebody to block is what he says. Or bulldoze over. But Sean, I mean, you've been in football for a long time. Everybody wants to be what? In baseball, who's everybody want to be? The pitcher. In basketball, who's everybody want to be? Come on, point guard. Y'all got my drift. I don't know enough about soccer. What do you want to be in soccer? Who's the hero in soccer? I don't know. Or are y'all going to go right? Well, see, that's why soccer is a community collective sport that brings everybody in and holds them together where we can create perfect harmony. Hey, I respect you soccer people. I mean, y'all run the whole game. That's why I had to play football. Run for 5 minutes, rest for 20 seconds. I'm into that. Take a 20-minute break and then do it again for two quarters. I like that rhythm. Soccer, they run all the time. Amazing. There's always a star, isn't there? And who do we always want to be? The star. And God calls us to be a faithful follower, not a superstar. Grace and peace is what Paul brings. And look what he says. I'm an apostle called by God. What I'm fixing to say, says Paul to this community, comes from my position in Christ, not from my thinking, not from my observation. But this is what Jesus is telling you. Jesus changes people. And people can change cities. But cities don't change, so people will change.
people change cities. And that's where we've had it backwards. We think if we get the world perfect, people will be better. That's our thought today. Here's the problem. Only Jesus can change people. And people make things better. Make sense? Or people can make things what? Worse. Good. Y'all are on the planet with me. Look here. Check it out. Paul, an apostle, a follower of Jesus, to the church of God in Corinth. Where is it located? And what do we have in Corinth? A church! It'd be like me writing to this. To the church in Vegas, right? Comma. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Comma. To those in Jesus. How many of y'all in Jesus? Not only are you in Jesus, you're sanctified in Jesus. You're remade in Jesus. Paul is talking about who? Jesus. Called to be his holy people together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. I want you to know something out of this scripture. God will put a church in Corinth. Isn't that cool? God is not scared of sinful places. Any of y'all rejoice over that? God's not scared of places that are going crazy. Christians aren't. Oh, I got in trouble one time. I did some kind of prayer thing. It's supposed to be, I had other, like other brothers and sisters with me, and I had some real holy people with me, and I'm not known to be, I'm not church certified. I don't get the good housekeeping seal of church behavior. And so sometimes I don't get invited to play reindeer games. You remember that, Mike. And so I was supposed to give this prayer, and I was very frustrated because to me it's like the church only likes to tell the good news to certain types of people, but it doesn't like to tell the good news to everybody. Does that make sense? And so I figured since God came to save sinners, he would really love Corinth because there was a high population of sinners there. So God hangs out where people do crazy things. How many of y'all believe that? He hangs out with me and I did crazy things. How many of y'all have done crazy, stupid things? And Jesus loved you and brought you out of them. Well, here's Paul, and they've established a church in Corinth. It's going crazy, young city, a lot of viability, a lot of action. And he says to this place, look, grace and peace to you. What? He doesn't start fussing at them? And you wait till we get in the letter. You're going to see some things that'll spin your head. By the way, warning. If you want to interrupt your Disney view of the kingdom of God, do not stay with me in this 1 Corinthians sermon series. This is not Disney Jesus. This is not Jesus handing out Mickey Mouse ears in the Magic Kingdom and we all eating saltwater taffy. This is God's grace hitting the reality of man's sin. And it's a head-on collision with all kinds of grace and peace tension. And it works. As I was saying this prayer before our brethren in Bowling Green, I prayed this prayer. Dear God, Jesus, thank you for going every place in Bowling Green that none of the church people will go. Thank you for being in the secret places, the silent places. Lord Jesus, thank you for walking in the bars and other places where people are really hurting. And you go speak in spite of the church's unwillingness to go anywhere except where they prefer. Needless to say, I've never been invited back to pray at that event. Because look at the difference. We want to go be with holy people. And Paul wants to go send a holy message to unholy people, through holy people. Hillview, in case you're checking out the church, we're B. We believe all people need to be forgiven. We're not scared of places like Corinth or places in your life that's gotten really messed up because I bring you great news of great joy. Jesus Christ changes people's lives. How many of y'all believe that? I mean, that's the deal. And check this out. I love these two words. We need to get these words activated to Hillview a little better. He says this to them. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, what? Grace and peace. Grace to the Greeks. They get that real well. They were into grace. There are a lot of Greeks there. And there's a lot of Jews there. Shalom. They're into what? Peace. Grace and peace. It's also a divine order there. Before there can be peace, there must be what? Grace. There was no peace under the law. You know why? We can't keep it. Now, grace and peace to you. To who? To those. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to just say this stuff works. If you'll just look at somebody and go like this, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Go ahead and pass that down. Bobby, grace and peace to you, man. Robin, grace and peace to you. What's your name, young man? Zach. Zach, grace and peace to you. What about you, brother? Grace and peace, man. What, are y'all doing it? Pass it a little bit. Come on, practice. Look, grace and peace to you. Come on, grace and peace to you. Y'all look like you're trying to go to a First, Second, or Third Baptist church. Grace and peace to you. We talk here, okay? Now, hold on. Corinth, if that's the rhythm, the salt, the flavor that comes out of our mouth as believers, what's going to happen to Corinth? I believe that. People will be saved and Jesus will be revealed. Pretty cool, isn't it? Here's what I want you to know. God remakes us. We're like new. Elizabeth and I've grown up at the lake all my life, not through my parents, but through my own doings. And I can't fix anything mechanically. I'm a mechanical nightmare. I'm mechanically special. And so I have to get people to fix my boat. And my boat guy fixes my boat. He calls me up and he says, "Man, this part is done with." I said, "How bad is it?" He gave me the price. And I was like, "Lord Jesus, there's no grace and peace in this." He said, "But I tell you what I can do. I can get a new one or I can get a reconditioned one." I said, "Well, what's a reconditioned one?" He said, "It's one somebody else has turned in, but it's like brand new." That's grace. I want you all to know we're like brand new. How many of y'all have been reconditioned by grace and peace? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because let me tell you the tension. I have this tension. I'm a sinner saint. Klein, you're a sinner saint. How many of y'all realize everybody's a sinner saint? No. Some of y'all are going, "Well, not me, Pastor Steve. I am a holy woman." I bet you've never talked about others. I bet you've never made judgment calls according to your own standards. I bet you've never held religious practice up over grace. I bet. Here's the problem with people that try to be holy by themselves. They are very mean. In the Christian world, they'll kill you. In the Islamic world, they'll blow up buildings. Religion leads to death. You've seen it, Philip, as a missionary in other countries. You have seen that religion would rather eliminate the person than repent. That's how dangerous it is. But grace and peace change people's hearts and recondition people to such a way that, guess what? The glory of God starts leaking out of them. And he says this to us, "Grace and peace to you." That church in Corinth, in this wild and crazy land, grace and peace. Why? God's doing something great in you. "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Lord Jesus Christ. For in him you have been enriched in every way." How many of y'all know you've been enriched? Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. "Well, Pastor Harris, if I've been enriched, why do I feel so bad?" Because you always look at what you don't have. I have an answer to your question. How many of y'all spend more time looking at what you don't have instead of utilizing what you do have? Well, I do that sometimes. And guess what I found? When I look at what I don't have, I always become frustrated. How many of y'all get the same way? You want to stress your life out? Think, let's just go a little more in the little status world. And then when you look at what you don't have, how many of y'all look at what others have? How many of y'all have ever done that? How many of y'all have looked at other people and gone, "How could somebody that stupid have that when I'm a lot smarter than they are?" How many of y'all have ever said that other than me? I've said that before. I've looked at some of my buddies and I said, "How? They were a brick head, not a brick house, a brick head in high school. How did they do that?" Well, guess what? When you start looking at what others have, you start looking at what you don't have. Let me tell you what. You will never use what you do have. And guess where life is? In Jesus, enriched in you through grace and peace. And I think the Church of Jesus Christ right now is always looking at what it doesn't have. And because of that, the devil has it so distracted, it will never use what it does have. And that'll change the world. Had a guy tell me the other day, he said, "Pastor Steve, we just had to leave Hillview. You're always talking about the cross and resurrection." I said, "Yes." "You think you're ever going to change that?" I said, "I hope not." He said, "Well, I need to go deeper." I said, "No, really, brother, you need to be saved. Seriously. Because if you don't understand, that's the message. For the next six chapters, we're going to see the power of the cross and the resurrection plug into a society that sometimes is anti-God, sometimes is let's fix God in our own image, but it's filled with multiple images just like we have today. And guess what Paul brings to them? The great teachings of Paul? No, the great power of the cross and resurrection. And guess what we want to do? We would rather have teachings than change.
What do you think? Young people, we all got to live in this world together.
What do you all see as more important in your all's generation? Ideology or reality? Here's something we've done with status. What are we doing right now? We're trying so hard to make everything what? Perfect. That's a good one, girl. What else? Yeah, we want to be perfect, whatever that is. I don't know what perfect is, though. If y'all want to get on Xanax real quick, just try to be perfect. It'll get you there. Because you'll grow absolutely insane. Because why? Roger, you've worked with thousands of people over the years. Yes, sir? You're meeting perfect ones? No, me either. I've never hired a perfect person, and they've never worked with a perfect person. Marty, you've taught people, you know, all kinds of martial arts. Disciplined art forms, yes? Other than yourself, have you ever met a perfect martial arts person? No. Because even in combat, if you will, the one who wins is the one who is less perfect. Now, Sarkozy, you've been in the library. You've read thousands of books over your lifetime so far. True? You ever met a perfect author?
No.
Not here. Yes. Just one. Anytime we talk about perfect, what name do we have to talk about? Larry, you're an engineer. What do you look for? All you engineers, what do you all look for? Yeah, all you engineers. Yeah. Have you driven a Ford lately?
Yeah.
Like a rock. Not for long. Nissan. New technology. I mean, we say what? We're going to create the perfect what? Perfect car, perfect truck, perfect moment. Jeter, when we're playing football, they tell us we're going to be what? Perfect. We're going to have the perfect season. I've never seen a perfect season, have you? Oh, how many of y'all have a perfect marriage? If you've been wondering why nobody wants to have dinner with you, it's because of your perfect marriage. Because guess what we know? When we get to the word perfect, it doesn't exist. That perfect is not our word, it's God's word. But let me tell you what some of our words ought to be. Grace and peace to you. May you be enhanced by the love that God has put in motion in you. May you realize that God has made you worthy and nobody can take that away. May you understand that God will work a miracle that is impossible for humanity in your life. Don't you understand? They're not going to be here very long, but you in Christ will be here forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Y'all remember that at Christmas when you got that big choir, you know, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And finally, you know, and the girls go, ever and ever. And the tenors, ever and ever. And the bass, ever and ever. And then finally, hallelujah. Finally, the choir pauses. You know, Josh, it hits that crescendo like y'all do in theater. And you think, finally, forever is over. And softly it builds again, forever and ever and ever. I was in one of them Christmas cantatas, and I said, I now understand forever. And it ends with, amen. So be it. God's reality, so be it. Well, let's crank her through. Look at here. Get ready for 1 Corinthians. It's full of action. It's full of God's power. You are God's testimony. Look. God thus confirming our testimony about Jesus, about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You don't lack. If you don't mind, just look at your neighbor and go, you're not a lackey. Go ahead and tell him. That felt good, didn't it? Tell him again, you're not a lackey. You may choose to lack, but the real reality is, guess what? None of us. I remember back in the 80s. Back in the 80s was just a crazy time because back in the 80s was about status. How many of y'all remember the 80s? The boom. Everything needed to be what? Some of y'all were there. Not many of you were there. A lot of you weren't here yet in the 80s. Isn't that crazy? Girls, let me tell you, back in the 80s, you had to spend a lot of money on hairspray. You hairstylists, I mean, y'all would have made millions of it. Yeah, but you remember it. You saw your sister. I remember Elizabeth even had a little bit of this at one time. Back in the 80s, it was cool. And you'd have the McDonald's arches on the front of your head like this. And status was achieved by the size of the dew. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We call it now mall hair. Big, I mean, you'd see these ladies and girls going down the mall. And we all went to the mall because malls were new. These big mega malls were new. Can y'all believe a mall was new? People would walk in and go, a mall. Mega mall. I remember here in Bowling Green when the big news was we were getting an Orange Julius in the mall. People were lined up to drink orange juice mixed up in the mall. This is not a very progressive town. And it didn't have any spirits in it. It just had orange juice with a little vanilla twist. Orange Julius. Status. I remember I had certain things in my car because it promoted status. I had Kreger wheels. Mine was jacked up in the back, wide tires. Jensen 6x9 100-watt speakers with an amplifier that lit up on the grill with ZZ Top playing. She got legs. Now, that's a Warren Central look. Now, Klein, Bowling Green High, they kept their cars laying level. We'd lift ours up a little bit. Ours actually had engines in them because we actually could work on the engines because we were willing to get our hands dirty. See what I'm saying? A little different. Different what? Statuses. And we live in this stuff. We live in this world. Don't tell me this world doesn't exist. For those of you all in this generation that tell me you're not like your parents, you're full of baloney. You just got different things you're like on your parents. A lot of people say, well, our generation doesn't spend money like baby boomers do. Really? $800 cell phone. A trip to Europe for $5,000 for your collective intergalactical socializational process. The only difference is at 30, we were working. We didn't have time to go find ourselves because we were lost trying to be something. And in that, many of us lacked much. It's to receive. Now, I want to start there, and I'm going to finish there today. As I have read this today, just a few verses, what name has been most prominent in these few verses? Bobby, thank you. Thank you, preacher. Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
And next week, we're going to see how people get away from guess who? Mm-hmm. Like some of y'all have heard me lovingly get on you when you go, well, now Pastor Steve said, it don't matter what I say. You better hear what this, though. This is what Pastor Steve said, Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. Because he's the one that lacks what? Nothing. And we don't lack anything. He just told us, in the church, those of us who've been saved, we don't lack anything. So as we go through this year, I'm going to ask you to do this. Allow God to show you what's already in you. And then he says this, guess what? Quit worrying. He will also keep you firm to the end. Who keeps us there in faith? Jesus. So it's not you got to go out here and work and struggle and hold on and have faith and go through all. Trust Jesus to come through. You say, but he's not working fast enough. Trust Jesus to what? Come through. How many of you all, if you've lived long enough, and not many of you all live in this service have lived very long, but you've lived long enough, how many of y'all have had a few of these experiences? If I had just waited, it would be different. What do you think? Elizabeth and I got married real early. Like really early. Like way before we should have. We were two kids. I was full of energy. And at that time, so girls, you be careful. At this time, it can happen. There was a moment in time when Elizabeth adored me. Now, that is a faint memory I have way back. It would probably take hypnosis to bring it forward to fully remember it. But yeah. And at that time, she thought it was going to be wonderful to be married to me. After about a month, she changed her mind. And so she would look at Blake, and as Blake started dating seriously, she said, listen, she goes, I love your father, but we should have waited. And she said, Blake, I just want you to wait to get married till you, till you're not so much of a boy. He goes, what do you mean? She goes, I married your daddy when he was a full boy. And I had to have a lot of faith that one day he would become a man. I'm not sure he's always made it, but he's come a long, long way from where he started. Some things you gotta what? Wait. Because you don't lack. And so what I found spiritually, we miss it, not because we lack, but because we're unwilling to wait. Maybe that's why the Bible spends a lot of time on be patient. Let God line it up. Why do we push? Why are we in a hurry? Can I ask y'all a question? I want to answer to it. If we truly believe that we live eternally now, why are we in a hurry? What do you think, Ms. Wilby? Why are we in a hurry? I mean, I've been in a hurry. Okay, too much to do. That's interesting. Some others would say that. I got too much to do. Or maybe are you doing too much? What do you really have to do? You don't have to blurt answers out, but I want you to think. I lack nothing. Maybe I need to really surrender to God and see what He's going to do in my life. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Look at that. Any spiritual gift. I remember in the 80s, everybody's trying to find their spiritual gift. You know why they never found it? They already had it. In fact, we should have run a conference series on shut up and listen to God. That would have changed the church. Shut up and listen to God. I know, parents, you're not supposed to say shut up. Children, please do not repeat your pastor and say shut up. But really, we need to shut up. That's one of the greatest problems of the church. We're always telling God what's going on. We're telling Him how bad things are. We're telling Him about the political situation. We're telling Him what they said on CNN and NBC and somebody cussed. And God knows! And still says you lack nothing. Live it out in the midst of crazy. That's grace. And sometimes you just got to live it out. He will, not we will. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just got to tell y'all, that just blows my mind. God sees me blameless. Elizabeth, do you see me blameless? Boy, Holy Spirit wouldn't let you lie in church. Klein, am I blameless? You're not either. Bobby, am I blameless? You're not either. Anybody in here blameless? Let me rephrase. Anybody in here blameless by yourself? How many of y'all are blameless with Jesus? Still blows me away. That when I meet Jesus, I'm probably going, oh God, I hope He doesn't. God, please don't remember this. Any of y'all got a list like that? He's going to look at me and go, Ayers, I'm not counting your sin. I forgave them. Lord, what about, I'm not talking about that. You lack nothing in who? Me. How many of y'all have discovered this? You don't lack anything without Jesus and you lack everything without Him. Yeah. I remember times in my life when I was running far away from what God wanted me to be. I knew God wanted me to preach, and I didn't mind talking. I just didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't want to go to church every day. You know what I mean? I didn't even like going to church on Sundays. I thought 7 days a week would kill a man. And now I wouldn't do anything, but I was running because guess what? I didn't want to be in the church because it didn't have the status I wanted. I grew up in the 80s. I saw the big hair, the big malls. I watched the TV shows, Dynasty, JR, Dallas, big cars. I grew up in a status church, man. Since I wouldn't stay in Sunday school, I hung out with the parking lot committee. I thought that's pretty cool. They smoked and told jokes. My kind of church folk. But I learned a lot about the church from the parking lot committee. They knew everybody. And back then, if you was somebody and you had made it back in the late 70s, Elizabeth, I know that you were too young to remember this back then, but I can remember it. Because I was in the parking lot committee out there with the old men who loved Jesus and smoked cigarettes. You can only do that in Kentucky. And here came a black Fleetwood Cadillac. Hal Oldsmobile and Caddy. Brother was a deacon, drove into the church, not a scratch on that black Fleetwood Cadillac. Guess what else was on it? For some reason, the glue would not release from the window sticker on the side of the Cadillac. It showed all the details and the price was not marked out. Why? What did that brother want people to know? I have arrived. Every generation's got a status of what? Status symbol. Every generation does. Watch this. What kind of cell phones everybody got to have now? An iPhone or what? Smartphone. Now, really, what? Now, be honest. I'm not saying that it's not bad stuff. It's great. But how many functions does a telephone actually have to have? I mean, really, how many does it got to do? I mean, it's amazing. It blows me away. My phone could launch a nuclear warship from Warsaw. And all I can do on it is text and call somebody. I even asked my kids one day, I said, I could ask y'all a question. I said, you have a phone. Why do you send me a note? And they said, because we can ask what we want without hearing the rest of the things you have to say. Since that was so honest, I started texting them. This was my text. No. They go, how come you just said no? I said, it's all I wanted to say. New world, isn't it? Same Jesus. We lack nothing. God will pull us through it. He will keep us. God is faithful. Let me close on this so you'll know where we're going. God is faithful. We are not. We need each other to help us to be faithful to who? God. We're not faithful all the time. That's just honest. We're not faithful to the things of God all the time. But guess what? Together, we point ourselves to the faithfulness of God. And let me tell you who keeps us. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with who? His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who'll keep you there? Same person that brought you there. Jesus. So we need to be constantly submissive to who? Jesus. By the way, those of you that are pretty insightful, how many times did you hear what name? What name was in every verse? I wonder who we ought to be talking about. I wonder who we ought to be following. And next week, the plot thickens. Some will talk about Jesus, but some will fall in love with those who talk about Jesus instead of Jesus. Make sense? I hope we've made that impossible here at Hillview. It'd be very hard for y'all to put me on the pedestal because I'm not going to be there. So I know what y'all are trying to do. When you mess up, you're trying to blame it on me because you thought I was perfect. I'm not perfect. Believe me, when I stump my toe, the last thing I say is, thank you, Jesus. Still working on that. Sometimes I slip up. Sometimes when the lawnmower doesn't start, I put anointings on it. Gotten better, though, because I'm getting old. I found now if I throw a fit, it could cost me my life. Helps. Said, okay, blood pressure's up. This could mean a stroke now. All right, better calm back down. Huh? Michael, it helps, doesn't it? The Lord said, I will bring you to my grace. What he left out is how. I'm going to tell you my truth, my grace, my life. We've already had some people receive Jesus Christ today already. Walked in and got saved today. What do you think about that? How powerful is that? Walked in and said, I need to be saved. Love you, Tony. Thank you, brother. Thank you for receiving Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to know. I love y'all and I love y'all. But on the day of judgment, if y'all go, Pastor Steve, love me, you're going to hell. I can't save anybody. I can't save everybody. I don't even get all my chores done. Correct, Elizabeth? Much less save human beings. But guess, let me tell you something else. Nobody in this room can save anybody else. Does that make sense? Noology. Mike, Senator, with all due respect to the Commonwealth of Kentucky, I've been in, it's where God's left me all my life. But the Commonwealth of Kentucky can't save human beings. It can help govern human beings. Now, for some of y'all, please don't call me unpatriotic and blow up an email server over this. Being a citizen of the United States of America will not allow you to have eternal salvation. Make sense? We got a good disability program. We got some cool things. Most of you young people, I hope you're looking at a good career because Social Security will be non-existent in your world because we spend all your money. You know what the real truth is? This is going to be hard for our heads to hear. It'll take a few months. Money won't save us. You know, I know people that have a lot of money, and guess what happened to them? I preached their funeral. You know the difference between dead rich people and dead poor people? Y'all know the difference? Nothing. See, here comes this reality that Jesus Christ is who he is. And guess what? I want to tell you the truth. God loves every one of you here. Whosoever will, he will. Or you can do this. I call it the Elvis way, the Frank Sinatra way of life. You remember the song that Elvis, it came off Frank Sinatra, but Elvis sung it. Y'all remember Elvis? And y'all remember Elvis? Are y'all too young for Elvis? Elvis, blue suede shoes, hound dogs, jailhouse, rocking, twisting hips, all that good stuff. Elvis, king of rock and roll. King of rock and roll. His last triumphant song, his crescendo to the earth in the life that he lived was, I did it. Fat, 50, and dead on a toilet. Let that sink in. I did it. Most of y'all relate more to this guy. Michael Jackson. Some of y'all were little, had your little white gloves on. Others of you, people like my wife, have listened to the Thriller 14 zillion times. And at Halloween, get it out and do all your... He's gone. I always look at the list of celebrities that leave us every year. You know, they show lists of important people that leave us. And you know what that list draws me to? Status is very temporary. And Jesus is forever. God is calling you to what? Forever. So here's a gig. Do you want people to recognize you now? Or would you like Jesus to recognize you later? If you would like to be recognized by Jesus, then you got to realize you're a sinner. That's what you got to realize. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I'm as good as anybody in this church. Well, boy, I tell you, that's tough. Yeah. If you'd like to be like everybody in this church, it's what makes this church work. We all realize we're sinners in need of the grace of God. The pastors know they're sinners in the need of the grace of God. We know this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not some have sinned, all have sinned. Everybody needs Jesus. We believe that with all our heart, soul, and body. Everybody does. Not some do, everybody. We don't believe because you're a nice person, you're going to go to heaven. Because most of you are just nice people, so somebody else will like you, and you're really mean all by yourself. I know. Some of y'all... You married other people that I knew. Behind closed doors, a lot of nice people are wicked, mean, honoring. We live in the South. It's not uncustomary in the South to see people smile, say bless your heart, and put a knife in your back all at the same time. It's the South. It's the way we kill people in the South. We're guerrilla warfare here. We'll give you a pie with poison in it. We do that through our language and our speech, but then there's the reality of Jesus Christ. You lack nothing if you'll receive Christ. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Forgive me my sin. For I have sinned, Father, who art in heaven. I haven't always honored you. How many of y'all have ever bore false witness? How many of y'all have ever said something about somebody else without knowing if it was absolutely true? If you're a seventh grade girl or have been a seventh grade girl, you've committed this sin at least once. It's impossible to not get out of the seventh grade without committing this sin. True. How many girls have ever gone this? Old ladies, how many of y'all do this? I even hear this with older ladies. I can't believe that woman wore that. Sometimes I've looked over there to see what they were talking about. And I just wanted to help them every once in a while. You all won't believe all the things I don't say. Sometimes I just want to lean over and say, honey, you know why she's wearing that? She can. See, we're always looking at what somebody else has instead of really rejoicing and living in what we, what, do have. Make sense? Oh, guys, man, you young folks, man, if y'all could grab this truth right now, you don't know how your life would change. You don't know how many early years of agony you would take off your life if you could just come to the realization, the Lord will put me where I need to be. May I be faithful in this day and trust Him to take me to the next day. And guess where you'll end up? Where He wants you. Instead of doing this, I got to be married at 24. I got to do this right now. I got to have this right now. This got to be in my bank account. Who said? Who said? Yeah. Yeah. I'm with Him. Help me, buddy. See, y'all don't know. This may be the next pastor at Hillview Heights Church, and y'all have no idea. Right now, you're looking like a good candidate. Give me five. Don't stab me with the pencil, though. That'll verify your calling. Huh? Is this making sense? Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my what? Sin. It's eternal. So we're going to come forward here in just a minute. If you have never received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I invite you to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you have received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've never been baptized, I invite you to get obedient. It's time to get what? Obedient. We need to do that. Guess what? Let me ask you a question on this baptism thing. If Jesus was to come back this afternoon, and I'm not saying He is coming back, but I'm not saying He's not. I'm just saying if He was, would you want to be baptized when you sing? Y'all answer that question. Answer that question. Yay or nay? You think this excuse is going to work pretty well? Well, Lord, I'm just kind of scared to stand in front of people. Really? Really? You realize I like died on the cross and they beat everything off of me and I had to walk naked down the Via Dolorosa. But you were a little nervous. See, this stuff don't fly when you get spiritual. It only flies when you get worldly. When you get saved, you don't care. You get obedient when you get saved. Because guess what? Every day you begin to really learn Jesus Christ is forever. What do you think, Doc? He's the only thing I got that's forever. I mean, Elizabeth's not forever. One day, one of the others of is going to have to live here for a few moments on earth by ourselves. So I hope you all enjoy Elizabeth's next husband. She said there will never be another husband. That the Lord promises you one, only a few bad experiences. And she said, and I'm having mine. But guess what? Guess what? I'm telling you the truth. It's eternal. My kids, man, they're not eternal. There'll be a day they'll be without me. I hope. Hoping not a day I'll be without Him, but it's possible. The only thing that lasts is Jesus. The only thing. And I pray to God right now that the Holy Spirit would convince whoever needs to be saved. Because it's the only thing you got that's never going to go away. The rest are moments. Some of them really good moments and some of them not so good moments. How y'all found that to be the ride so far? Some of them top of the mountain moments and some of them bottom of the barrel moments. But guess what? God rides through it all. And He makes a promise. No matter what you see right now, that's not what you're going to end up with. And I don't know about y'all, but as I watch CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and hear all the pundits, you know what I do? I used to get madder than a hornet. Now I just grin. And I say, none of you are Jesus. And none of you have the final word. And oh, a lot of you are going to be surprised when Jesus Christ comes and your knee hits the ground. Your knee hits the ground whether you believed or whether you said He was a myth. Your knee hits the ground. Whether you were the president of the United States, Russia, Australia, Prime Minister or wherever, your knee will hit the ground. Whether you were Cleopatra or Miss Victoria's Secret 2030, it doesn't matter. Your knee's going to what? Hit the ground. And Jesus is the Lord. You know why? He is right now. So I say, why don't you let your knee hit the ground early? So when it hits the ground the second time, it'll say, oh, Lord Jesus, Savior of my soul, giver of my life, I'm going with You. I just want to be where Jesus is. What about you guys? And he's in Corinth. And he's in Bowling Green. But guess what? He's here right now in the Holy Spirit, leading people to understand. Well, let's pray, Lord. Your grace is greater than our mess ups. Your truth beyond our ideologies and even perspectives. Your understanding deeper than our longest processing program. But yet, God, we struggle every day to find our way. So right now, I just pray that you would bring yours to our thoughts and our minds and our souls and our spirits. Lord, whoever today, whosoever today, needs to receive you as their Lord. Just, you don't even have to close your eyes. Just listen. Tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I've sinned and I need you. Lord, I need to be forgiven. Jesus, I believe you died on a cross. You've risen from a grave. Man, receive that. Hey, sister, receive it. I hear the devil spinning around. You can look at me. I hear him. I hate that sucker. He tries to tell some of you that you're unworthy to be saved. He tries to tell you this, that you're never going to get off that drug. That's a lie. You know how many friends I got that were never going to get off, had been off for 25 years? You know how many people that told me that their sin could never be changed has been changed? You know why? The Lord Jesus Christ changed anything. And if you don't believe me, just try him. Dare him to change your life and see what happens. Grace is irresistible. But you have a choice too. You can have it your way. You can stand before God with your ideology, your concepts, your perspective, your viewpoint. Do you know why we're so caught up in our viewpoint today? Status. You know what I learned a long time ago? Doesn't matter what I think. Because my thinking won't last for long. And what I think will never last as long as what God has said. So follow what he says. Ask me and I will forgive you. Thus saith Jesus. Let's stand together. Lord, oh, what a beautiful day. Draw us to this altar. Heal us, Lord. Help us repent in areas of our lives where we know we're into things that are killing us. Make us new. Let us love. Let us find you in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we come. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Guess what? We don't have any guests at Illview because we love all human beings. And so if God's bringing you to the altar, come on. We'll talk to you about it. You say, well, I'll go to another church. That's fine. If you haven't been saved, come here and receive Christ. We'll get you baptized in whatever church you're supposed to be baptized in. That's no big deal. What we want to do is make sure you know Jesus, though. Please do not walk out of this auditorium without receiving Jesus Christ if you know he's calling you, okay? If we're back next Sunday, we'll talk again about next Sunday. But if we're not back next Sunday and he does happen to come, guess what? It's wrapped up. Don't grab, and don't, hey, none of you in this room can say this. If you walk out of here unsaved, there's none of you in this room that can stand on Day of Judgment and say, well, I didn't know how to get saved. Wrong. You have to say this. Lord, I heard exactly how to receive you, and I chose to walk away. And by the way, God's a lot different than the government. He only has salvation. No bailouts after the fact. No bailouts after the fact. So I choose wisely now to receive Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Folks, the altar's open. People are coming. You come and pray. Come receive Christ. Come in grace and peace. Don't stand there and just think about grace and peace. Come and receive grace and peace. Y'all been beautiful today. Come on.